sing this hymn, but I think about the 1859 revival, because this hymn featured then. Men and women were asking the question every day, what's the news? God was moving in such a remarkable way in our country back in those days that there was news to tell every day. What has the Lord done? And they were able to say, well, he's done all things well, and he's triumphed over death and hell. May the Lord help us to see days like that again in our province when we're asking every day, what is God doing? What's the news? Have you got good news to tell? Let's listen to the words of this hymn.
Thank you.
bow together at the throne of grace in prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty God and everlasting Father, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, we bow humbly and reverently in thy presence now as we come in Jesus' name. The God who has given this beautiful Lord's Day evening, the sunshine and the blue skies, the God who has ordered creation and nature according to his purpose, we bow in the courts of your presence now, and we draw near through the Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator, and we come to praise thee for the news, the good news of the gospel, the good news of what Christ has done. I have got good news to tell. My Saviour hath done all things well and triumphed over death and hell. That's the news. We can go out into the community and we can proclaim this good news. We pray that thou wilt help us to be faithful in our day to the souls of men around us, and to give them the good news of Christ, to tell them of a Saviour who is mighty to save, one who is able to redeem them from all sin and make them fit for the eternal kingdom of heaven, one who can pardon them through and through. Oh, Father, we pray that we might lift up our voices on high and proclaim Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world. We thank thee that we can go and we can say to sinners that the Lord Jesus Christ can do this for them. Jesus Christ can save you too. That's the news. Your sinful heart he can renew. That's the news. That moment if for sin you grieve, that moment if you do believe, a ready pardon you'll receive. That's the news. We can say that to sinners tonight who listen into this meeting. We thank thee for those who join us and become part of this service who as yet do not know the Saviour. We thank thee that through the preaching of the word, God has ordained to save men that believe. And we pray that you will order this tonight, that you will reach down your hand of salvation, that you will pluck some brand from the burning, that you will do a work of eternal grace in the hearts of men and women and young people this very hour. Bless every part of the meeting, the hymns that we hear sung, the ministry and song, both from our sister Victoria and also the Word of Truth. Remember the session and committee and this passage of Scripture that they're going just in a moment or two speak to us about. We thank thee for the great truths in Ephesians chapter 2, this great story of what the Lord has done in our lives, the testimony that Paul reminded the church at Ephesus that they had. There was a time when they were out of Christ. There was a time when they were put into Christ. There was a time when they were in their sin and far away from God as far could be. But God, who is rich in mercy, oh, we bless thee for the mercy of God and the grace of God through which we are saved. We pray that the passage will be an encouragement and a blessing as we listen to it. We pray that thou wilt bless this community and this time. Things are starting bit by bit to get back to some kind of normality. But we realize that there's still a threat. There are still, Lord, real issues when it comes to COVID-19. We pray that thou wilt keep our people safe, that thou wilt surround our families in your protection, that thou wilt bless them and keep them and help us to be faithful in these days. We pray that thou wilt bless us now as we continue here in the presence of God, sitting at home just where the congregation might be. For those that are joining us, Lord, bless them too likewise in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. Now the Sunday school and the young people have been involved in this particular quotations from the Scripture, the Bible chain, and the session and committee is going to do it for us just now. And this will be uploaded to Facebook and you can listen to it later. But we're going to hear the session and the committee now as they speak the word of God to us. Ephesians chapter 2 is one of the most remarkable chapters in all the Bible. It contains the testimony of every Christian.
Paul outlines what the Ephesian believers were prior to salvation and what they became in Christ. And this is so for all of us who believe. At one time we were dead, debased, diabolical, disobedient, debauched and doomed, as the opening three verses inform us. But God, and this is how verse 4 begins, and this is the intervention of divine mercy, love and grace. God stepped into our lives and transformed us by the power of the gospel. He raised us up from the deadness of sin to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Though we were without Christ and strangers to grace and to God, and without hope in this world and the world to come, in Christ we were made nigh by his blood and reconciled to God by the cross. The great biblical truth of the gospel is emphasized in this chapter, that salvation is by grace alone. Together with our elders and deacons, we're going to read the opening 17 verses of Ephesians chapter 2, and we trust that they will be a blessing to those who believe and a challenge to those who know not the Savior.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 17. And you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins.
Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us.
Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands.
That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world.
But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us.
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace.
And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. Amen, and may God bless the reading of his precious truth.
Well, we said amen to that again. It's good to hear from the session and committee reading this passage of the Word of God, and we trust that it has been a blessing to you as you've listened to Ephesians chapter 2. You've probably seen some changes if you didn't know about it already. Some of the men look a little bit different. Three of them at least have grown beards that they didn't have, to join the two or three that have beards. And so whether that continues when lockdown is over I'm not sure. But anyhow, thank you to the session and the committee. Now, tonight we have a special soloist. Victoria Salt is going to sing that beautiful piece, Man of Sorrows. What a name. Thank you, Victoria, for supplying this beautiful piece and for singing it so well, so beautifully and meaningfully. Trust that the Lord will bless it as we've been led to Christ in this hymn. We bid you welcome to Hebron tonight to the gospel service in the precious name of the Saviour. We remind you that our youth challenge link up is at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, going out on Facebook. There's just two more before this closes now for the summer time. Thursday is a special day for Andrew Miller and Rebecca Cubitt as they come to get married. It's a small wedding because of the restrictions in COVID-19 days. But it can be viewed live stream via Resharkin Presbyterian Church Facebook page, and that's at 1 o'clock. Thursday night is the midweek service. We study the Psalm 40 together. Friday night, it's finished there, FPC Kids. But Friday night, the Sovereign Grace Advent Testimony is broadcasting a message, the prophecy of Nathan, and the preacher is Dr. John Douglas. That's going out on their Sermon Audio Facebook and their YouTube site. So you can tune in there if you'd like to hear the Lord's Servant at 7. Our own youth fellowship has their meeting this coming Friday night. It's the final one of the term, and a special testimony if we get the technology together from Tabita in Pakistan, and I'll be speaking to the young people, bringing a closing word for this season. Next Lord's Day, broadcasting Sabbath School at 11 and the Bible class also at the same time. It's Children's Day. The services are 12, noon and 7. Children will be taking part. These are pre-recorded messages that they're singing and so forth. And speaking is our sister, Miss Joyce Walsh, one of the children's evangelists in our mission board. Good news, of course, in a couple of weeks' time, when it comes to the Sabbath day, we will be able to meet here in the house of God, because from the 29th of June, churches are reopened for worship. We hope to have our prayer meeting on Thursday, the 2nd of July, and then on Sunday, the Lord's Day, the 5th of July, here in the house of God. You will be able to come with certain restrictions imposed upon you. But how delightful it will be to have many of you here in the building again. We offer our services to you. If you need help in any way, please contact us in these days. Thank you for sending in your tithes and offerings and money for the work of God in this house and for missionary work. We thank you in Jesus' name. Just want to mention once again that the total amount for the Indian orphan appeal came to £12,380. And this is to support 70 orphan children, and we'll be able to do it in the will of God on this strength for a period of 2 years. So thank you in Jesus' name. Do you remember Kerry Halliday? She has been appointed head girl at Ballymoney High School just in the past week. We congratulate her, we rejoice with her, and we pray that God will make her a shining example as she takes on that very important role. Pray for the Halliday Bible Clubs that will take place through our mission board this coming summer. The first one will be Monday the 20th to the 24th of July, and these will be broadcast each day at 10 o'clock in the morning. We continue to pray for God's intervention in the midst of coronavirus. We pray for the frontline services. We pray for the sick and the sorrowing of the congregation. We remember the video casts that are going out day by day, and our weekly broadcasts, and the work that our mission board is doing with the children of our province. We pray that the voice of God will be heard. Has God spoken to you in these days? Has he challenged you? Has he had a word for you? Has he been teaching you things? I hope he has. We certainly have been learning from him in the midst of it all. We pray for our missionaries who are at home and abroad, that the Lord will bless them in the various countries where they serve Christ. I'll run through these slides quickly again with you, just to let the congregation know what has been happening at Sunday school. And it's just lovely to see the children and our brother Wesley, the superintendent who has been introducing Sunday school week by week, Victor who did the memory verse, and Julie who did the story. We thank our teachers for their participation and for keeping up this important work. And likewise, the Hebron Youth Challenge to Andrew, who has coordinated this, bringing it all together, and for the leaders of the work that have been very much involved in doing what they have done. Thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the children who sent in their various colourings, these pages they coloured in and sent them in, it was a memory verse that they were learning. I trust that the Word of God in the Psalm 34 and verse 4 has been a blessing, as they have not only coloured it in but learned it as well. We're asking you to pray for the project feeding these orphans. We mentioned the amount that has come in, and this will commence in the incoming week. The plan is that groceries will be purchased tomorrow, they will be packed on Tuesday, and distribution will begin on Wednesday. And it may take up to 7 days to travel to the villages. It's quite an extensive area, covering something like 52 villages. Some of them are difficult to get at. But we pray that this will be a blessing to the children of India. Pray for us, as tomorrow, in the will of God, we have a link up with Freya in Pakistan and have the opportunity to talk to the children of her Sunday school class. We had the privilege this afternoon in Pakistan, about 6:30 their time, 2:30 our time. And as time proceeded, the darkness was falling upon the land of Pakistan. But we had this wonderful opportunity of preaching the gospel. So you're not going to hear this, but I'm sitting at the computer. I see the congregation and I preach to them, and the word of God is going out there. And we hope that it has fallen on good ground in the good hearts that will receive the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, even to the saving of their souls. And that was just the food that was provided today for the poor family to eat. Food distribution continues to take place in remote and poor areas among the tribal people. This is Deep's family. We mentioned these ones this morning. The supply of 30 Bibles to Mr. John in Pakistan, he has received them. Reverend Harris was able to organise this with his congregation so that the young people there can study the Word of God together. Now, I mentioned the Emergency Aid Fund, and some of that has gone to the land of Nepal. And the second round of this aid has now gone out to feed the poor people. And these are just a few of the slides, just some of the samples of the families who came and received of the food provided by the people here in Northern Ireland. Do pray for the ongoing work in Nepal. Pray for Emmanuel Christian School, and remember our dear sister Noring as she labours there as the principal of the school. This is some of the plants that the children have grown, and we're very thankful to see that the plants are looking healthy and they looked after them very well. These are all the announcements that I have to make and the things that I've shared with you. We're going to hear now from the Word of Truth. Word of Truth, we're going to sing, "We Shall See Jesus."
We shall see Jesus just as he is. Once on a hillside, people were gathered, hoping to see him as stars blind eyes, healed broken spirits, moved with compassion, he raised up the dead.
Once on a hill,
Jesus had risen and soon would ascend. Then as he blessed them, he rose to the heavens and gave them his promise to come by.
speak for everyone that that was a blessing. We shall see Jesus. My wife says that this is her favorite that the word of truth sing. And we trust as ever that you've been encouraged and strengthened by it. Will you turn with me in the word of God this evening to 1 Kings in the chapter 22. 1 Kings in the chapter 22. And we're reading verses at the end of the chapter. I want to bring a Father's Day message tonight. This is Father's Day in the United Kingdom, and it's Father's Day throughout the world. They were celebrating it in Pakistan today. After the time of preaching, they were serving food, but they brought these little sweets, and they had a kind of custom there that children would take a sweet and they would give it to their father just to thank them for being their father. We really appreciate you, is what they were saying, just by the giving of a little sweet. 1 Kings chapter 22, and we're going to read from verse 37 to the end of the chapter. So the king died, speaking about King Ahab, and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria, and one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor, according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, and the ivory house which he made, and all the cities that he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah his son reigned in his stead. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi, and he walked in all the ways of Asa his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. And Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, and his might that he showed, and how he warred, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. There was then no king in Edom. A deputy was king. And Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold. But they went not, for the ships were broken at Ezion-Geber. Then said Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, unto Jehoshaphat, let my servants go with thy servants in the ships. But Jehoshaphat would not. And Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers, and was buried with his fathers in the city of David his father. And Jehoram his son reigned in his stead. And Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did that, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. For he served Baal and worshipped him, and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel, according to all that his father had done. Trusting that the Lord will bless his word to every heart. We'll bow in prayer. Our Father, we've read your word, this history. We're going to learn from it now as we think of the influence of a father. And there are influences here that we must look at, even on this Father's Day. We look to the Lord for grace. We look to the Spirit of God for power. We ask thee that thou will give us that anointing that we need. Bless us physically, mentally, and spiritually in the proclamation of your word. And it is our prayer that a work of grace will be done in the hearts of those that hear this message just now, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Got a Father's Day message for you. We're going to preach on the influence of a father. And there's two verses from this passage of scripture that we want to leave with you. Verse 43 and 52. And he walked in all the ways of Asa, his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burned incense yet in the high places. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. Father's Day is a day that is set aside to recognize good fathers, a day to honor them, and maybe in some respects just to spoil them in a good way. No greater blessing is afforded to any children than to have a good and a godly father, and we've got to put the mother in there as well, at the helm, in charge of the home. A Christian home where God is honored, the scriptures read and taught, prayer is offered, Christ is presented as the Savior, children prayed for, family worship established, and the essence of godliness outlived before the children is a home that is most blessed indeed. There can be good homes with outwardly good parents who train their children in godly ways as far as unregenerate parents can do so. The Bible is read, right and wrong is presented, words and actions are guarded, the television and the internet are controlled, children are sent to Sunday school and to children's meetings, and they are brought to the house of God. And I commend unconverted parents for their concern. But they fall short if they themselves are not right with God and leading by true example in all things spiritual. We love to quote that hymn when we think of our families and what our homes should be like. Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Saviour, where Christ is head and counsellor and guide, where every child is taught his love and favour and gives its heart to Christ the crucified. How sweet to know that though its footsteps waver, the faithful Lord is walking by its side. We want to establish godly religion in our homes like Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24 and 15. We want to sanctify our children like Job the patriarch. We read about it in Job chapter 1 and verse 5. We want to lead our family members to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Andrew did. He led his brother Simon Peter to Christ in John chapter 1 and verse 41. We want to see to it that the whole family is converted and blessed with household salvation, like the family of the nobleman in John 4, the family of Lydia in Acts chapter 16, and the family of the jailer, the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. We want in our homes to sit at the feet of Jesus, as Mary did in her home in Luke chapter 10. I want to talk to you tonight about the influence of fathers. But the application is for everyone. And though my remarks and the text of scripture here will be dealing with fathers in particular, yet there is a message for all of God's people especially, and a message for the unconverted. I want really to set before you 2 points tonight. First of all, the influence for evil. And we come to the the text here in the story of Ahab and Ahaziah. And we come to verse 52. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. Now you've got to learn from this. Fathers are one of the greatest influences in the life of any child. He is the leader. He is the guide. He is the head of the home. His offspring look up to him. They watch him. They see his conduct. They listen to his conversations and his words. They pay attention to his temporal and his financial dealings. They mark his steps every day, every moment of every day when the father there is before them. And this will have a mighty impact upon them and an influence upon the impressionable mind and the heart of the young. You will often discover, like father, like son. More than often, there is a mirror image stamped upon the character, even the personality of children as fathers live out their lives before their family. And so, to a greater or a lesser degree, whether we like it or not, our children become what we have made them. Here's a young man, Ahaziah, who comes to the throne at the age of 22, succeeding his father Ahab. This young king was a wicked man at heart, influenced exceedingly by a godless father who cared not one little bit for the spiritual or the eternal well-being of his family. It has to be said that is a tragedy, above all tragedies, in any home, whether in the palace of a king or in the hovel of the poorest man on earth, when a father cares not for the spiritual and the eternal well-being of his sons or his daughters. They give no attention to bringing them up in the fear and admonition of God. They give no counsel in godly ways. There is no opening of the scriptures. There is no high and holy example in the home. There is no leading the family in worship. There is no sincere prayer offered. There is no attendance at the sanctuary in any form or fashion. Bad enough that a child would not be taught or not be brought to the house of God on the Sabbath day, but worse still, when that child is not even sent, not to the Sunday school, not to the children's meeting. There's no burden for the soul's well-being. There's no anxious concern for the eternity of that child. There is no vision whatsoever to see them walking with God. Such was the home where Ahaziah grew up. Now, what about your home? What about you as a father? What measures do you take to make sure that your children are instructed in the ways of God? What steps have you put in place in your family to make sure under God that your children have the best and the most spiritual upbringing that you can possibly give to them? Are you leading your children to heaven? Are you moving heaven and earth to make sure that your children are soundly saved? Do you read the Bible to them? Do you open the Bible at all in your home? Do you bow the knee in family worship? Do you bring them to church? Do you send them to Sunday school and to children's meetings? Oh, the mammoth responsibility of parents and fathers, because we're thinking about fathers tonight, and it will have eternal results. be sure of that. Ahaziah's father was Ahab, a man who was one of the most notoriously wicked kings ever to occupy a throne. We are introduced to this vile and vacillating king in 1 Kings chapter 16. And there at the end of the chapter, I want to read these verses to you. I want to set the scene. I want you to see the kind of a father this man was, Ahab by name. Verse 30. Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel the son of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. That's the testimony that the Spirit of God here in the Scripture bears to this father. Ahab was a persecutor of God's prophets. He was an antagonist against Elijah, the prophet of fire. He was the murderer of the godly Naboth. And he is one whom God cut off, being shot through by an arrow that was launched at a venture from a bow. He bore a wicked testimony all through his entire reign. I want to read 1 Kings 21 and verse 25 to you. It says, "There was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up." None like him. None like him in his wickedness and in his sin. That was the father that this king had. And of course, his mother, and we're not particularly speaking on mothers tonight, but we have to mention here his mother was Jezebel, who was one of the most wicked parents in the Bible, the idolater who exercised terrible and evil influence upon her husband and her family. And this was the background, this was the family setting that Ahaziah had. And we have to say, like father, like son. All this sinful influence had a lasting impact upon the young Ahaziah growing up in the palace, and he turned out vile and sinful before God and men. Here's the testimony of the Holy Spirit of God about this man, put down here in the record of divine truth. 1 Kings 22, 52. He did that. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother. He was the chip of the old block. For Ahaziah continued promoting Baal worship as the national religion. The Lord had already shown his father that the false religion of Baal was worthless when Elijah triumphed over the 400 false prophets of Baal in a miraculous show of divine power on the summit of Mount Carmel. And yet that memory didn't seem to faze Ahaziah in the least. He didn't take it into account whatsoever. Such is the carelessness of sinners. Men just go on, heedless, careless, and reckless in their wicked ways. Ahaziah was as spiritually dull as the idol he served. Is this the kind of phraseology to be written over your influence and your family? Dear father, he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father. Are children what they are today because of your bad influence. You have led them into sin. You have refused to check their evil ways. When they wandered away from God, you did nothing to stop it. You failed to guide and direct. You actually encouraged some of their sinful ways. And by the way, you don't need to be an Ahab to lead your children astray. We're talking here about one of the most wicked men that ever lived in this world. Certainly the most wicked king to ever occupy a throne. You don't need to be an Ahab. Christian parents can be just as guilty. You read the story of Eli, the man of God, in the days, at the beginning of the days of the judges. Think about it. Think about him, or the end of the days of the judges, rather. He didn't restrain his children, didn't bring them up the way they should have been brought up. You think of King David. Think of the awful influence that he had upon many of his children. Many of his children turned out to be not in the godly ways in which he walked, but in the sinful ways in which David walked, especially towards the end of his life. We have to say the same about Solomon. And Solomon erred exceedingly and wandered from God, and so did many of his children. So even here, we have to say, in the Christian home, in the Christian family, there can be an influence that is not good. Here's something that you need to know: where Ahaziah is today. Because this young man went on to die, as we all do, as all men will. God took him away. He fell from an upper room of his house through a lattice, and that resulted in serious injury. It's likely that he suffered internal bleeding and other medical complications. And what was the solution? What was the decision that he made? To turn to God, as many people in trouble do. To repent and seek the Lord at this stage of his life when he's so ill. To have a deathbed conversion experience? No. Not even then did he seek God and turn from his wicked ways. He called upon Baal-zebub, Lord of the flies, the Philistine variant name of the fertility god Baal. Ahaziah thought that Baal-zebub could give him some insight as to whether or not he would recover from his injuries. And so he sent messengers on a 45-mile journey to a Philistine temple to inquire from some phony physician. He was an idolater to the end. God eventually sent Elijah, the prophet, to face this wicked man and to pronounce his end. We read about it in 2 Kings chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. Thus saith the Lord, "For as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it not, because there's no God in Israel, to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou wert gone up, but shalt surely die." And so he died, according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. The message of the prophet was, your idolatry has brought about your death. God cut him off. This wicked man is taken out of the way. He was only permitted to reign for 2 years on the throne. And here's the point of eternal significance. He died without the Lord. Hardened, unrepentant, lost, and undone. And he went to hell. Here's where the influence of his father finally took him. Not just in the awful things that he practiced in life, but my friends, at the end of the journey, he died without a savior. and this man was lost forever in hell. Where is your influence taking your family? Because there is an influence for good, or an influence for evil, as we see it here. And I trust, as a father, you'll not be that influence. But then, secondly, there is an influence for good. And we come to Asa and Jehoshaphat back in verse 43. And he walked in all the ways of Asa, his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. Here is the other side of parental influence. Jehoshaphat turned out well. He followed the good example of his father. Asa was a man of God. We've been looking at this king on the Sabbath morning. We've been doing a little study from the record in Chronicles. But here is the credentials specified by the Holy Spirit of God in 1 Kings chapter 15 and verses 11 to 14. This is what Asa was like. Verse 11 of 1 Kings 15. Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land. He removed all the idols that his fathers had made, and also Maacah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron. In his day there was reformation, there was restoration, there was revival, and there was righteous reigning on the throne. Jehoshaphat had a godly father to look up to emulate, and to follow. And there is no doubt that there was religion in this home. There was a training up in the right ways. Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And undoubtedly that was so in the kingdom, in all the reforms that he introduced into the land. But it must have also been in the family, not just out there on the wider scale of things in the nation, but right now here in the home. It might be a good question to ask, what does it mean to do right in the eyes of the Lord when it comes to home life? This man did that which was right. This father did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. What does that mean? Well, the scripture is very clear about our parental duties. And Asa would have known the law. He would have been taught in the law. And part of that law meant the teaching of the children in the home. We think of Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. Here's the law of God given to Israel. Thou shalt teach them. And that's the commandments of God. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And you could take the next verses. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. At every conceivable opportunity, the laws of God, the word of God, was to be taught in the home to the children. When, as this verse of scripture tells us, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And of course, Asa knew the law of God, and he would seek to implement this in his home. He would seek to teach his children God's ways. He would know that the right thing was to train the children. As we read in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Asa knew that, and he therefore taught the ways of God. He instructed his family and he led by example. Sound teaching from God's word should flow from the lips of a godly father so that he can instruct and correct himself and his family. He must know the scriptures himself. You can't teach the word of God unless you know it. So he's got to know the word himself. He's got to meditate upon the scriptures. He's got to hide the truth of the scripture in his own soul. He's got to live by what God teaches. He's got to order his life accordingly so that he might be able to teach them to his family. A father's conduct should match not only his profession, but his eternal position in Christ. This will show that he has been set free from the bondage of sin, and he can now live in a manner that is pleasing to God. His behavior should be excellent in the sight of God and man, especially in front of his children, whom he is seeking to win for Christ. There should be everything about his character and his demeanor that speaks well for Christ. The evidences of godliness should be clearly seen. The fruits of the Spirit should be there. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Having put on the Lord Jesus Christ, he should now shine in the very glory of Christ every day. There's something I want to say to you tonight. Ask you tonight, where are you leading your children? Dear Father, asking you that question. Is it in the steps of righteousness? Is it in the ways of truth and holiness? Is it in the paths of salvation? Is it heaven itself? There's something very interesting and challenging about what God said concerning Abraham in Genesis 18 and verse 19. This is what God says. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. God says, I know him. And God says, I know that he will do what's right in the home. Abraham will command his children and his household. Is God saying that about you and me? Does God look down from heaven, his dwelling place, upon you, dear Father? And he's saying to you, I know him. I know that he will command his household, his family, in the right way. I know that he will teach and train his children in the ways of the Lord. Jehoshaphat walked in the right way. He came to know the Lord. He displayed the evidences of true grace. And ultimately, he went to heaven. This is our deep longing for our children. This is where we want to lead them ultimately. Oh yes, we want to lead them in the scriptures of truth. We want to lead them to the throne of grace in prayer and teach them to be a praying people. We want to lead them to the house of God, that they might be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night at the prayer meeting. We want to lead them in the paths of righteousness. But my dear friends, ultimately, we want to lead them to glory and to eternal bliss. This is the influence that we want to have on our children. And so on this Father's Day, I'm asking you the question, what is your influence? What father best represents you? A father like Ahab or a father like Asa? A father that leads his children the paths of sin and eventually to hell itself, or a father that leads his children in the ways of righteousness and to heaven ultimately? It's challenging. I have been challenged. I trust that you have been challenged. and that God will continue to speak to your heart. There are fathers tonight, and perhaps you need to get right with God. There are changes that need to be made. I pray that God will help you to put in place those changes, and maybe mothers too, to live right before your family, to be that example of godliness in the home, and so lead your family in the ways of the Lord, and lead them to Christ, and lead them to heaven itself. Maybe I'm speaking to some family member tonight, and you're out of Christ. You're not saved. I can't speak for every case concerning the influences that you've had, but I want to tell you, my dear friends, you need to be saved. And there's been many good influences around you, and you certainly know your need tonight, and you have a knowledge of the Bible. You have a responsibility to seek the Lord and repent of your sin. And I implore you on this day, this Sabbath day, this Father's Day, that you will seek the Lord while he may be found, and that you will call upon him while he's near. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that we receive here as we think of the influence that we're bearing in this life. And we know it's not just the influence of a father or even a mother, but it is the influence of every Christian, what we are every day as people watch on, and the influence that we're exercising upon others. Oh God, we pray that we'll do everything under God by your grace to lead others to the Savior, to lead them to heaven. We pray there will not be a stumbling block on the way, that through our evil influence and through our bad example, that we would actually lead people the other way. Oh God, give us homes that are built firm upon the Savior, with godly mothers and godly fathers, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And so just in closing tonight, we're going to hear that hymn 747 that I've quoted from tonight. Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Savior.
Amen.
Just remains for me to thank you for listening in to Hebron tonight. Trust the message has been helpful, a blessing and a challenge. And we're here as the Lord's servant for anyone that needs to talk to us about spiritual matters. Maybe you need to be saved. Maybe you're a backslider. You need to return to the Lord. Maybe you're a Christian struggling with something. We're here to help and encourage. Do please contact us. May the Lord bless you, keep you this incoming week, for Jesus' sake. Amen.